Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. The NFL Draft coming up later tonight. Finally, all the teams can make their picks. And to talk more about this, we say hello to former NFL offensive lineman Ross Tucker, of course, with CBS and Westwood One, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast as well. And he's going to be part of the Eagles draft coverage. So looking forward to that. Ross, good morning. How are you?
Awesome. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. I'm sure you feel the same way, but we're ready to get this draft done because I'm ready to talk about players coming to the Titans and not players potentially coming to the Titans, as we've done for the last 6 months. So I'm ready to get it going.
For sure. I mean, I love the draft. So I love the lead up to it. But you do get to the point now where you're ready for it to happen. Although I know on some level on Sunday, I'm going to miss it, you know, because I like the intrigue, right? I like the unknown. It's so different than the games. It's the coming together of college football and the NFL. I'm a big fan of the NFL draft, and so really looking forward to the next 3 days, especially tonight, just the excitement, the buzz. I'm hoping there's a bunch of trades. It always makes it more interesting, and you guys know the deal, right? Like, most people know that they're never going to be 6'9", 315 like Joe Alt.
Yeah.
But everybody thinks they can make the picks and trade the players and make the right decisions. And so that's kind of the fun of it.
Well, you mentioned Joe Alt. Pretty much every draft analyst there is has the Titans taking Joe Alt at number 7, barring any craziness. You played offensive line. You just gave the stats there on him. How much of the real deal do you think he can be? And working with a veteran offensive line coach like Bill Callahan, how big is that going to be for the early part of his career?
Well, I think it's gigantic. I don't think we talk about position coaches nearly enough. You know, I had 9 different offensive line coaches in the NFL, and guys, it makes a big difference. I mean, even take me out of it, I can tell you, I remember 1 year, you know, our running backs were not good in pass protection at all in blitz pickup. And we got a new running back coach, and the next year it was the same guys. They were locked in and almost never screwed it up. So it really – position coaches make a big difference. You know, obviously Bill Callahan's as good as there is. I was actually surprised the Browns let him go. I know his son's the head coach down there, but – I thought that the Browns should ask for a draft pick back. And I know that's never happened before. I don't care. I think he's worth it. I think if you're the Titans, you gladly give up a 7th-round pick or something for the chance to get Bill Callahan. Now, they didn't have to, but I think he's that important. And I do think for especially a young player like Al or anybody else that he'd be invaluable to work with. And I think he probably looks at Al. Obviously, he knows the bloodlines. He's still so young. I mean, I look at Alt and his face looks like he's 17 years old to me. He's only 21. It's just like weird. It's like a movie where they put this baby face on this huge person. So I think he'll do well. He's already pretty polished. You know, you've seen the year-to-year improvement, which is encouraging, especially when you're so young.
We're talking to Ross Tucker this morning on the Chasing Big Joe show here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Ross, I just saw where you are the number 2 most popular person to ever come out of your high school.
Where did you see that?
You know who number 1 is?
Yeah, no, I know. In fact, it's funny because it was either 2015 or 2016. I was down in Nashville, and I was doing a Titans game on the radio for Westwood One. So I know Taylor Swift is from my hometown, spoiler
right.
alert, and I know her dad, pretty good friends with her dad. So I reached out and I asked him if he wanted to have dinner the night before the Titans game. And he said, I can't. I'm going to be busy that night. I said, okay, no problem. And then he said, do you want to come with me or do you want to – or something like that. And I was like, I thought you said you were busy. He said – no, Taylor has a concert here that night. What's it called, Bridgestone Arena?
Yes.
Yeah, Bridgestone Arena.
So anyway, so I think he thought I was fishing for tickets, but I didn't know her concert was then. I was literally just asking him to go to dinner. So I end up going to the concert with my wife. It was absolutely incredible. Got a chance to talk to Taylor. talked to her mom, and I said to her mom, I said, you know, from 2001 to like 2008, when I was in the NFL, I was the most famous person from Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. And I said, until Taylor came along, and her mom looked at me and dead serious, this is like 2015, 2016, dead serious said, well, you know, Ross, just keep working. I think it's over. I think I lost. I mean, she's the most famous person in the world. I'm okay. I mean, I'm second to the most famous person in the world. I'm okay to take that L. But it really is funny. Like, the first time I saw her in concert was in our hometown, like at this little rinky-dink theater. Wow. Right after her, you know, the song, the Tim McGraw song came out.
Yeah.
And I took my wife, and she sings this song. It's called Stay Beautiful. And it's about, it's like, Corey's eyes are like the blah, blah, blah. So after the concert, I see Corey. I'm like, yo, Corey, come here. He was the starting quarterback for my high school at the time. He's like 17, 18 years old. And he comes over. I'm like, I said to my wife, I'm like, this is Corey. And she, my wife's like, Corey who? And I'm like, Corey from the song, Corey's eyes. And she's like, oh, yeah, you do have nice eyes. So it's just bizarre that, like, she wrote songs about, like, people from my high school and the kid that was a starting quarterback, Corey Robinson, whose mom was my teacher. It's just, it's bananas.
It's a small word, Ross. All right,
oh,
so
that's fantastic.
Well, back to football. All right, so now I'm seeing Ross, because Joe Alt is 6'9", he can't do the drop step and all that. And I go back to another guy drafted, Bernard Williams by the Eagles in 95 or 94 was 6'8", 6'9". And they got on him, Ross, and like, you can't do this. And I think it got into his head, like, maybe I can't pass block. Why are we knocking Joe Alt down when we see how good this guy could be?
I think two things. Number one, there is always some level of concern when there's not a huge track record with certain guys at certain positions. And for Joe Alt, it's just his height. You know, there's not a lot of guys that have had success in the NFL at 6'9". I mean, how many have even tried would be my first question, right?
Right.
But then also, like, the flip side is, you know, there's plenty of 6'8 guys like Jonathan Ogden who are unbelievable, you know, or Trent Brown 6'8", and he's been phenomenal. So I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, the fact that his 10-yard split is as good as it is, the fact that he can still run a 5-second 40, 5.05, almost broke 5. I mean, he's plenty athletic enough. That's not my issue with him. My issue with him is I think we all have inherent biases as it relates to what we think is important or what we like, right? So I was not nearly as talented as Joe. So I played really, really hard. I never thought blocking people was fun. I only thought trying to hurt them and smash them and throw them in the ground, like, that was what was fun, right? Like what fun is just, like, blocking somebody? I mean, actually, like, taking them to the ground, like, that's what I liked. I would like to see a little more nastiness from Joe. I'd like to see a little bit more physicality at times, but that's my bias. Like, Fuaga from Oregon State's like that. J.C. Latham has some of that in him. Ultimately, I don't think it makes that much of a difference in terms of production, but I do think there's something there that if you're an enforcer type, that it sort of permeates throughout the entire offensive line, the entire offense, really the whole team. And I didn't see enough of what I would call, like, the enforcer mentality from Joe on tape. That would be my knock on him.
Ross Tucker is with us, former offensive lineman. And, Ross, I know you do a lot with MyFrontPageStory.com, so tell us more about that.
Oh, man. My buddy started the company. It's by far the best Mother's Day gift ever. And Mother's Day gift, by the way, fellas, is 2 weeks away. My sister and I got one from my mom a couple of years ago. It was amazing. I mean, you talk to a writer for like 10 minutes. They write this unbelievable story about your mom. You give them a picture. They take the picture. It's framed. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper, like the Tennessean. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. But when my mom read the quote from my sister saying, you know, I wouldn't be the woman I am today if it weren't for my mom. She just started bawling, like absolutely crying. She has it hanging up in her house right next to the front door, which I think is a little bit weird, but still, I don't care. She loves it. She absolutely loves it. MyFrontPageStory.com, best Mother's Day gift ever. Listen, moms are everybody's first-round pick. Get her the story and the gift she deserves. The coolest, most unique gift you could ever even think of, and you wouldn't think of it. That's why we started the company for your wife or your mom. MyFrontPageStory.com, MyFrontPageStory.com.
Well, awesome. Definitely check that out for sure. Ross, thanks so much for doing this. We appreciate it. Great insight and even better Taylor Swift stories. So appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay, anytime, guys. See ya.
Absolutely. Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Also, you can see him on CBS and Westwood One. And he'll be a part of Eagles draft coverage as well. MyFrontPageStory.com helping getting him on today. So, I mean, look, I've already been sold on Joe Alt, but
right.
You go to an offensive lineman and you hear that, then you got to feel good.
Yeah, I mean, you do. I mean, there's the aggressive part. I mean, you can't be aggressive every single play that you, you know, get out there and
you
do
wanna
that.
You want to be, but you but, can't.
But I was reading last night and this morning, too. I was like, let's see some more stuff. And they just invariably, it's every single player they start because it makes them feel good. Like, well, I told you, you know, when the guy fails, I told you he couldn't do the drop step. I told you he couldn't sink his butt. You know, I told him he couldn't push off. All this stuff starts getting to the forefront to make themselves feel better. Look, he's a massive guy. He did great at Notre Dame. He's done great in his workouts. He's done great in the interviews. I think it's a no-brainer. Teron Davenport said, this is a can't miss prospect for the Tennessee Titans. Teron knows far more than we know. It's perfect.
Yep. We'll talk more about the Titans in the draft, the Predators in the playoffs, the Cats, all things Nashville. Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 sports director, is here with us.
And the breakfast.
At Kitchen Notes. Enjoying the breakfast because the breakfast is amazing at Kitchen Notes here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. She will join us for the rest of the show. Do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. This is appropriate. Three's Company bringing us back on a TV-themed Thursday. Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 sports director, joining us now here on the show. Appreciate Ross Tucker. Jill, it is playoff time. It's draft time. It's Cats time. It's all the things are happening here in Nashville. How the heck are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I just crushed some eggs here at Kitchen Notes. I'm starting the day right and excited to get going with you guys before this fun round one, day one of the draft unravels
yes.
in front of us.
I don't know how we swung this deal, but every Thursday we get to be here, and so it's,
yep.
you know.
It's good.
It's good.
Throwing caution to the wind, don't eat on air, or Chase is going to drop the hammer on
Good. Duly noted.
Well,
I got it.
Jonathan, so we were at Hermitage Golf Course the other day for a great golf tournament from Stars that they do every year, and they had right by our broadcast location – they had a fry stand. This guy that was, like, doing fries
Amazing.
And different flavors and everything.
Oh, gosh. That must
so
be
thank
course,
you.
What a tease.
They bring some over, and we're talking to Hutton, and I'm just, like, sitting there, you know, asking questions. And I just hear.
but I don't hear it back in my ear. I'm like, okay. And the mic's up like this. I'm like, I don't hear it.
And I look over and I just see Joe just stuffing his.
I mean, Chase wanted to banish me to Elba with Napoleon. I was never going to come back. So just a little caution for you.
I'll wait. Yeah.
It's all good. So Jim Wyatt put out his mock draft that he talked to 150 people about who they got. I think 130 said Joe Alt. You being one of those that said Joe Alt. It feels right, so that means the Titans will probably take a pass rusher.
Exactly, right? It's so funny you said that because coming over here, I was thinking, okay, we're going to talk about Joe. We're going to talk about how he's arguably the best offensive lineman in this class. You know, how does he fit in this schematically? But then I was like, what happens if some Chargers take Joe Alt? What happens if a move is made? What happens if all of a sudden Joe Alt is not on the board or the Titans go a different direction? And then what? And I think that's the big question mark, is what could happen other than the Titans taking Alt? Because I think it's really hard to find someone that is not gung-ho or does not think that Joe Alt would be a great pick for the Titans. That is undeniable.
I love these receivers. I do. And I would love to see the Titans take one of those receivers. But all that said, they need Joe Alt. Because the left side of the line is then taken care of for at least the next 4 years, but probably longer, because you would have Skoronski from last year, Joe Alt, and then they're working with Bill Callahan, who's a heck of a coach.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so,
what a setup.
So, it will be, we're all sitting there waiting for the pick, and Goodell walks across the stage, and it's like, all right, Joe Alt, get your Joe Alt jerseys. And then he goes, and it would be typical Titans. The Titans select some guy that we haven't talked about all year. And it's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, it's too easy for the Alt pick to be like, all right, here we go, put it in there. Chaos is going to happen the first six. It always does. We've talked about this ad nauseum, about how the draft before the Titans got screwed by teams going before them. And I will be shocked if it goes straight to 7 and Joe Alt's sitting there, there's no trades or anything. I'll be shocked. It'll make your job a lot easier tonight,
Jill. Yeah, I would, man. I wouldn't be complaining.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing for you, though, is that, like, they trade back from 7 to 22, and then at 9:28, you've got a hit on Fox 17, and it's like, oh, the Titans. And you're like, what? What's going on?
To your last draft, what really hurt me was day 2 when the Titans traded up to get Will Levis. I don't know if you guys remember, that happened at 8:57. I am literally walking from my office to the studio, and I hear overhead, Jill, Titans make a trade. Because they know I'm headed to the studio or the makeup room. That was pandemonium. And of course, I'm leading the show. So, again, simple to me, yes. For selfish reasons,
right,
I'd love that.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. Yeah. We all know that.
But you're also by yourself.
I'm also by
myself. that's the worst.
Yeah, hey, what are you guys doing tonight? You guys
that's
want to go to the
Well, I'm going to Tim McGraw, but I've seen Joe edit. He's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm fast. I'll get you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he could do that. But it just makes the most sense. I think, and again, this is dangerous to say, and I've said this for the last 3 months, that with all the talent that's available and picking at 7, I find it very, very hard for the Titans to screw this up. I've seen them screw some stuff up. So I say that, but I find it very, very difficult that they're going to be able to do that.
I do want to point something out. That's twice in the last couple of minutes you've mentioned the history of the Titans and being notorious for making, some questionable moves. We got to remember, this is a new regime. This is a brand new front office. And right now, I think one thing we've learned about Rand Carthon in his last 2 years, right, because this is his second draft with the Titans, he's not afraid to make moves.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to make some moves. We saw that for the first time with Will Levis moving up. We also saw that on display this free agency period, making big splashes, going after those big names, Calvin Ridley, L'Jarius Sneed. So I think I want to give them the credit on, hey, let them build their, their reputation, their repertoire when it comes to how they handle the draft and free agency. So I'm giving them all the credit in the world. And especially after hearing them talk yesterday, I'll be honest with you guys, they looked tired.
Good.
Good. If Carthon means... and Callahan are listening, Coach Callahan, I apologize, but you guys look tired. And they said it. They said, even Rand Carthon said his son came up to him and said, hey, by the way, I like mom more than you right now because I never see you. And so they brought up that point, the hours away from their families. This is they've been working hard. They said the draft board's done. So they're now it's about just waiting and listening to offers and seeing how the first six picks unfold in front of them.
Yeah, and you said you were there yesterday and got to see all that. I thought it was interesting, and I don't have the exact quote, but that basically, even though this is his second draft, he kind of looks at it as it's his first.
Yes.
And that's been brought up. And it does feel like that, whether he and Vrabel had a good relationship or they didn't or whatever – it does feel like that this is the reset. And even after 1 year, he gets to hit reset too. Now, that also means the clock starts.
Yes.
That, if they screw this draft up, who's everybody going to blame?
Yeah.
If they get it right, who's everybody going to praise? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, so that's kind of how this goes. But do you get that sense that there is a little bit of weight off his shoulders, that even though now the pressure's on, but this is truly his show and he feels that way?
I think, and if you look back to the presser, Kerthon, every time he was asked about, okay, how does he feel about his growth in going into this draft versus last year, every question that was kind of in that direction, he put it back with Callahan. He said, this is ours. This is a new start. This is a completely new team. Because he's not the one calling the plays on Sunday. It's Callahan, and Kerthon said that.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not the one that's drawing up the scheme. I'm not the one that's plugging in plays. That's Callahan. So yes, you could put this all on me, but really, we're in this together. And I don't want to compare that to what he did have with Rabel, because I think a lot of us would love to know what was going on in that war room, right, last year in the draft, and a lot of times in the office with the two of them, but we don't. I think Kerthon made it a point yesterday to go out of his way to make sure whenever the media asked about him and his draft and his strategy, he brought it back to the two of them.
Yeah.
And so I got an overwhelming sense of we are in this together and we are on the same page.
Yeah, for sure. She's Jill Jelinek, Fox 17, joining us for the rest of the show. We'll have more with her coming up next. Live today at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 1025, 1063, the game. Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Again, our draft coverage tonight, Twin Peaks and Madison, starting at 6, draft night in Nashville, presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet, Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, at Twin Peaks and Madison, home of the 29-degree draft beer. So go check out Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, and ESPN's Trevor Maddich. If they go receiver or offensive line, we're covered.
Yeah,
if
right.
they go loudmouth, we're covered. So we have that as well. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 hanging out with us today. Woo-hoo! At Kitchen Notes.
All right, Jill, we've been talking about Brock Bowers. You've been over there. You spent a lot of time at Titans camp over there. I am on the anti-Brock Bowers train.
Oh, okay.
Because
I didn't catch that
he's
memo.
The one.
You need a left tackle, all right?
Yeah.
You need a left tackle.
Okay.
And if you got a left tackle, Brock Bowers, take the left tackle.
So you're not against Brock Bowers. You don't think he's a, you know, like
I think he's fantastic.
Smoke and mirrors. Okay, it's just that you want need over.
Thank you.
Need yeah. over the star power name.
Yeah.
Best available.
Exactly.
Right?
We had the argument of the day about if Drake May falls to 7, he's the best player on the board. Take him. Totally disagree. Ride the Will Levis train. Now if you get another quarterback competition coming there, you've got another nightmare for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Get your left tackle. Now, if Brock Bowers, you know, if the Titans trade back to 15 or something, and they can get or
different
have,
story.
Have two maybe tackles out there, they can pick one, another draft choice, and get back, fine.
Yeah.
Don't make him your number one pick tonight.
The only other argument against you, Joe, is that this is arguably one of the deepest classes in offensive line talent. Rand Kerthon and Brian Callahan said that numerous times. They both believe this is one of the deepest they've ever seen when it comes to offensive line talent. So, yes, we are all high on Joe Alt. Yes, we all agree that he's arguably the best offensive lineman in this draft.
Right.
But there's also some great guys after him at offensive line that are also plug-and-play blue-chip players
sure.
that can come in and play right next to Peter Skoronski. So the argument could be if Brock Bowers is there at number 7 and mm-hmm. you know that you love you're high on another offensive lineman.
Fashanu, Latham, Mims.
They're going to be there. They're not going to be there at 18, 19. They're going to be gone after the first 20 picks. They're gone.
Sure.
I just think they take Brock Bowers at some point. I think somehow, some way, they get Brock Bowers. I don't know. And I told Chase, if they take Brock Bowers at 7 – you better teach his butt how to pass block.
I just
and move him to left tackle.
I don't see how they can. The only way that I can see that scenario happening is they have to trade 7.
Yeah. So if they go back and get like the 11 and 23 from the Vikings,
if Minnesota
whatever,
calls like, "Hey, we love," and again, here's the other scenario: if Drake May falls, if Drake May is this year's Will Levis, that's going to change a whole lot, because if you know, let's say New England has fallen in love with McCarthy and they're buying it.
Right.
And they pass on Drake May, which I think is a mistake. I think Drake May is the best quarterback in this draft. But let's just say he falls and they take McCarthy. Well, then that changes everybody's game plan, because then you're going to have Minnesota and Denver and the Raiders that are going to be calling teams like the Chargers and the Giants
yeah.
and the Titans going, what do you want? just like we played the Floyd Reese cut yesterday, him telling, you know, Rich McKay that I'll give you anything you want to move up to get Kurse. Yeah. I think those teams would do
all right,
that.
So, Jill, to your point, if they get 11 and 23, and you can guarantee me at 23 you're going to take a tackle that you that you think one of these great tackles could be there at 23, I'll give you Bowers at 11, but then I need that tackle at 23. I'm telling you, we all saw how bad an offensive line can destroy a team.
Absolutely.
So build it. I don't get just
– absolutely.
Just don't take Brock Bowers first and be done with it.
It's not going to be how much they love Brock Bowers. I think it's going to be how much they love someone else other than Joe Alt. Again, J.C. Latham. We talked about the Washington stud, Futanu. Also, yeah. Fashanu. Like, there are so many top-level offensive linemen that can play
right
at that left tackle position. If the Titans love one of those, Bill Callahan, right? How much do we talk about his eye and what he can see and what he can build? If he says to his dad, which is so funny every time we say it, hey, you know what? This is a guy with potential because of X, Y, and Z. If Joe Alt is not there, or if you go this direction, look at this guy. Look at Fashanu. Look at Fontenot.
Right.
So that's my argument is this is a deep offensive line class, maybe the deepest it's ever been.
Yep.
You know Titans have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D.
All right, I want to ask you this. I'm talking to Jill Jelinek at Fox 17, join us at Omni Nashville Hotel on the Chase and Big Joe Show. You're at all these press conferences. You've talked to Rand and Callahan. Let me ask you this, a weird question. When Brock Bowers is brought up to Callahan and Carthon, how is their body language? Ooh, do they sit up?
Question.
Do they move around? Do they lean in? I'm telling you,
okay.
Body language is one of the most important things ever to anyone. I mean, I know you're probably like paying attention, but how was there? Is there a little like excitement there?
There was a question, not specifically about Brock Bowers, but his name was mentioned when the question was, "What do you do when you have best available versus what you need?" And they Carthon and Callahan, you can look at the transcript, went back to the, "Hey, we look at all options. We look at all options." Answer, which yes, is a generic answer. You know, doesn't get into much detail. But it's also the truth, right? And they can't predict what's happening six picks in front of them. So they do have to consider everything.
Right, yeah.
I think you couldn't tell much by the body language, Joe, to your point. But I think it was very obvious that they were not ruling anything out. That's what I took away. That's what I took away. Because they're trying to predict every scenario. They're trying to be ready for every scenario. They talked about the board. They said, we have every player on our board, and we first stack it vertically based on talent. And then we take those same players, throw them horizontally, but with completely different factors. So they're looking at several different things, trying to anticipate every scenario. But at the end of the day, they have a game plan for what happens in front of them.
Jill Jelinek is with us. So we've talked about tonight, and, you know, a lot's going to dictate – tonight's going to dictate what happens the rest of the way.
Absolutely.
It usually does.
Absolutely.
I'm just as excited about 38 as I am 7.
Why?
Because I think you talk about how deep this draft is with offensive linemen. There's good receivers that'll be there at 38. If they've addressed defensive back or cornerback quite a bit, you know, in the offseason, so I don't necessarily think I want to spend that pick there. Pass rush.
Yes, I was like just going to say defensively.
Pass rush.
Yes.
I mean, you could get – I don't love an inside linebacker there, but it's a need. So, but, like, you could get a pass rusher there to help Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah,
there's a
absolutely.
Lot of options at 38 as well.
I agree with you. I don't think secondary is as much of a need, especially with L'Jarius Sneed in that big contract, as it – and Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah.
Secondary isn't as big as a need as I think the pass rush agree. Somebody to help and grow with Jeffrey Simmons. But I do think they made a comment yesterday in the presser how – or excuse me, yeah, Tuesday in the presser, how those later rounds are where they're challenging. Callahan said, we're challenging our scout team to find those defensive diamonds.
Yep.
Find those guys that can be plug-in players on our defense and also some offensive tools, yes, but mostly defense. Plug them in right now. Those guys are going to be found rounds 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, and look, Rand Carthon was a big part of that when he was in San Francisco of finding those guys, you know, in the late rounds. So
he also found Trey Lance. Does he take credit for that?
No.
No.
I have not heard him once take credit for that.
Right.
No, but I'm happy to give him
Shanahan.
Credit.
Yeah. That's Shanahan did that.
All the bad things. But then you got Brock Purdy coming.
Yeah.
I went and read all the pre-draft.
He was pretty good.
Not after the combine his pro day. I mean, nobody was. It's one of those things like, hey, who's on your board left? I don't know. This Purdy guy. Pick him. Who cares? He's not going to play.
It's a great story.
And then, boom, there he is. And, you know, he's the starting quarterback now, which forced the hand of trading a lot of players over there. I just don't want I go back, and I do this with Chase quite a bit, the history. Like, 2010, I told Chase this, they went to Jason Pierre-Paul, they took Derek Morgan. I'll never forget how the Titans, they won't admit it, they panicked taking Derek Morgan because they wanted Jason Pierre-Paul. I'll never forget, Jill. Dave McGinnis walks in the where all the media is and tell us how great Derek Morgan is. And it's one of those things where if you speak over and over again, you're trying to convince me that he's good.
Kind of pushing it a little bit, right?
Yeah, I was like.
A little extra effort there.
Yeah, guy doesn't make a Pro Bowl. He's very average here for a long time. It's one of those panic things. I don't want to see that again. I don't want Carthon to panic. I think John Robinson panicked 2 years ago with A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks. Oof. I just hope now that there's this collaborative effort over there. It's like, all right, we got 19 different scenarios. Let's do this together. Let's not panic, because panic picks aren't good picks.
Well, and again, this is the NFL draft. You can't predict the picks in front of you. Now, the Titans have it a little easier because there's only 6 picks in front of them, right? When J-Rob, a couple years ago, you know, Titans were deeper in the draft. That's a lot more variables to work with and try to predict.
Right.
But to your point, Joe, I agree. Collaboration has been a buzzword since Carthon got here last year and has been carried over with Callahan. It was very clear to me on Tuesday with that presser, the two of them sitting next to each other, that one, they were both very tired, and two, they were both on the same page.
Good.
I'm glad they're tired. That means they're working. I appreciate that. I'm tired, which means I'm working.
I think I even saw a little more gray in Callahan's beard. I wasn't going to say anything, but I was like,
oh, that happened.
What was your thing about Amy last year with Rand and Vrabel? It's kind of like the den mom. Like, you two get together. You two play well. You two play well. Don't make me come back in here again. Don't make me.
Oh, man.
I think she does not have to worry about it this time.
But, I don't think so.
Sauce Gardner has tweeted, I laughed at this, if we draft Rome, Bowers, MHJ, Neighbors, or Joe Alt, I will be announcing the pick today. If anybody besides the guys I named are the pick at 10, y'all will not see me announcing the pick. That's pretty good. Talking for the Jets. Coming up next, Jill, you get to be a part of the best part of our day, which is celebrity birthdays.
Oh, my God. I've always wanted to be a part of this.
You will be a part of celebrity birthdays. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe with Jill Jelinek at Omni Nashville Hotel and Kitchen Notes, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, our home away from home every Thursday. Always look forward to that. Real quick, before we get to celebrity birthdays and what day is it, Kenny the Mailman, our buddy, has been waiting patiently on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny, what's up?
Hello, good friends. My first round draft pick in the good guy draft, Chase McCabe.
Thank you. Joe, thank you, Kenny.
Who's your second pick, Kenny?
Well, Joe, stick by the phone. Maybe you can be a free agent.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny, if you take Chase first, you'll be picking first next year.
Wow.
Chase, not only do I remember your family spaghetti, I remember your family, and they were very, very nice. So,
I appreciate that, Kenny.
Has some good Bellevue memories. Now, starting tonight about 10 o'clock, different entities, different outlets, they're going to start grading the draft picks already by Monday. Everyone, this team's to see. There is no way until 3 years from now you'll know who will be injured, who will fit, who will take to coaching, or who will be with Isaiah Wilson rapping. So I always take those draft picks. And everybody turns to it for some reason. That's what surprises me. But we'll be looking forward to the results. And, hey, y'all have a great, great day. Y'all have had a good show already. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate bye-bye. You.
Thanks,
and
Kenny.
So you just have the best day, Kenny, too. Send those guideposts. Tell George Plaster we said hi over at Lipscomb.
All right. Enough. That's a long inside joke, Joe.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. My computer was behind me, had to turn. Yes, today, for what day is it? We have DNA Day. So, yeah, that. East meets West Day. We also have International Financial Independence Awareness Day. That is a long one to read.
No clue what that is.
There's also
I don't think anybody knows what that is.
A Love Your Thighs Day. So it shows a picture of a biker. So
absolutely.
There's that. D. Mace in the background. National Crayola Day. You got that.
Hey, remember this, Dr. Crane. A broken crayon can still color.
Okay. True. I'll remember that. National Steak Day. That's celebrated in the UK. We also have World Penguin Day and Take Your Daughter and Son to Work Day.
Pass.
And last one on the list we have here is Hairstylist Appreciation Day. So cool.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Well done, Dr. Crane. All right, time for celebrity birthdays.
Take your child to work. I was wondering why Justin Beasley was here.
Yeah, that's exactly why. All right, so Jill stepping in for Dr. Crane today. So, Jill, you get to partake in celebrity birthdays. You got to get it within 2 years.
Okay.
So, like, yes. Chase is 27. If you say 24, it doesn't count. Say 29.
Ding, ding, ding.
If you get the exact age, it's 2 points.
That's right. So, our first birthday, and Chase, we'll let you go first.
Okay.
Al Pacino.
Ooh. 83.
76.
84. Chase up 1-0. We'll keep going down here and see some people. Some of these people are like, what? That guy's famous? Oh, Hank Azaria from The Simpsons. How old is he?
Hank Azaria, The Simpsons, Mad About You, a lot of different things. Ooh. 77.
62.
60. Good job, Jill. 77.
I thought he was older than that. He was on Friends as well.
Kenny Chesney's ex-wife, Renee Zellweger.
Oh, Renee. Yeah.
52.
58.
55. You guys are on opposite sides of that, but so close. So close. Actress Sarah Paxton.
What is she in?
Movies. She was an aquamarine.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
sure.
Sarah Paxton, 34.
Let's go 42.
36. Chaser Stabnart, 2-1. Adrian Balboa, Talia Shire. How old is Rocky's wife?
Oh.
70.
63.
79.
Oh, wow.
Let's see here. We doing Jason Lee from My Name Is Earl and one of those Clerks movies. Jason Lee,
53, 64.
Chase. 3-1. That's all right. You're there, Jill. You still got a chance to
come
do
back.
This.
Come back.
Here we go. A couple sports. Joe Buck, the great Joe Buck.
Now with ESPN. Is he doing draft stuff tonight? Joe Buck, 58.
52.
55. You guys are killing me.
Wow.
Tim Duncan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, former San Antonio Spur.
Hey, you cover the Spurs.
Yeah, I should know this.
Wake Forest.
That's right. Good job, Chase.
Tim Duncan, 43.
Hold on. Math, hard.
Come on, Joe. You got this. You got to beat him.
47.
48.
Yes!
3-2.
Nice.
Former MTSU fullback running back DeJuan Hicks. He's a celebrity sports birthday
DeJuan
today.
DeJuan Hicks. Wow,
yeah.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while. 47.
Let's go 53.
43 years old. And with that, Chase McCabe wins celebrity birthday.
That's
Chase. Right, but you took him to the wire
there.
You
did. That was my first time for celebrity
good.
Birthday.
That was great.
By the way, so.
That was great.
Yeah.
Jill, thanks so much for
thanks
stopping
for
by today.
Guys.
It was fun. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the playoffs.
Yes.
Obviously, the game three tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. It's going to be fun.
We got a couple things going on here in Nashville this weekend, don't we?
Yeah. This will be you were the Colorado series.
That was my first one. So
right.
This is my third year with the Preds, second playoff. But this was their first win on Tuesday. So I'm already
feeling good.
I'm already
it's going to be a lot of fun on Bridgestone Arena and the Plaza and all that. So looking forward to it. Our thanks to Jill Jelinek for stopping by. We're at the Nashville Super Speedway tomorrow, JoJo.
And Jill, you can eat now. It's okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
As we leave every show, to our guys out there, if you're struggling, listen, we love you. On your cell phone, you can dial 988. There's somebody always there. We'll talk to you. Before we do anything, please call that number or call Chase and I. We'll talk to you anytime, anywhere to let you know how beautiful you are and how much you are loved. And if something happened, you'll be terribly missed. But we want you to know that we love you and our world's a better place because you are here.
Amen to that. The draft tonight, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.